Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, QT Vokes and Sun Guy with you here on another Sunday afternoon. We want to thank everybody that took time yesterday to go to the Tracy Smothers Sellout for Smothers show in Tennessee. I understand they had a good turnout, successful venture, so hopefully that did a lot of good for Tracy's family as they make the final arrangements. QT, Northwest Pro actually had some shows that they filmed for later broadcasting. They are doing a few shows like that that will pop up at some point fairly soon on the YouTubes. I'm sure you're going to look forward to those.
Well, okay. I mean, Northwest Pro, do you know who was in the opening match?
I believe the opening match was for the first round of a tournament they ran, Mikey the Mustache Selleck versus Darren Gwynn.
Oh, is he any relationship to Penny Gwynn?
I don't believe so, but that'd be great if he was.
Yes. Pen E. Gwynn was a name that the Penguin used in the Batman movie, the first one, 1966. He said, "Allow me to introduce myself, gentlemen. I am Pen E. Gwynn." And they were on a submarine at the time, I believe. Batman and Robin.
Yes, all of the villains from Gotham City chipped in together and they got a submarine.
Yes, why isn't there a wrestler named Pen E. Gwynn?
I believe some fans tried to give that name to Al Tubbs, but he was not receptive of that.
Oh, okay. How's Al Tubbs doing these days?
I believe he's doing fairly well, waiting on things to open up here in the Pacific Northwest so we can resume managing once again.
Do you know if Al Tubbs ever teamed with Randy the Pimp Taylor?
Has Al Tubbs ever managed Randy the Pimp Taylor?
No, have they ever tag teamed together?
That's very, very doubtful because when Al Tubbs was an active in-ring wrestler, most of that time was spent in the Midwest. Randy Taylor, I believe, probably didn't come across Al Tubbs very, very often as a wrestler. He probably mostly worked shows with him where Al Tubbs was managing.
I'll have to get a hold of Randy Taylor and ask that.
I will try to find that out. I will investigate and see what I can find as far as that goes.
Did Al Tubbs
there was some sort of penguin-related book out there that maybe you could read a passage from.
Well, I have Mr. Popper's Penguins here. What page would you like, just randomly?
I would think page 16 would be perfect.
16, let me see. I've got 8. Oh, 18 is illustrated. Okay, here we go. Page 16. What paragraph do you want?
Oh, the first one, of course.
Okay. I would not, said Mrs. Popper firmly. The paper on now is plenty good enough. I am going to the first meeting of the Ladies' Aid and Missionary Society today, and I don't want any mess around to clean up when I get home. Very well, my love, said Mr. Popper meekly, and he settled down with his pipe, his globe, and his book of Antarctic adventures. But somehow, as he read today, he could not keep his mind on the printed words. His thoughts kept straying away to Admiral Drake. What could he have meant by a surprise to Miss? Fortunately for his peace of mind, he did not have very long to wait. That afternoon, while Miss Popper was still away at her meeting and Janet and Bill had not yet come home from school, there was a loud ring at the front door. I suppose it is just the postman. I wouldn't bother to answer it, he said to himself. The bell rang again, a little harder this time. Grumbling to himself, Mr. Popper went to the door. It was not the postman who stood there. It was an expressman with the largest box Mr. Popper had ever seen. Party by the name of Popper live here? That's me. Well, here's a package that comes air express all the way from Antarctica. Some journey, I'll say. Mr. Popper signed the receipt and examined the box. It was covered all over with markings. Unpack at once, said one. Keep cool, said another. He noticed that the box was punched here and there with air holes. You can imagine that once he had the box inside the house, Mr. Popper lost no time in getting the screwdriver, for by this time, of course, he had guessed that it was the surprise from Admiral Drake. He had succeeded in removing the outer boards and part of the packing, which was a layer of dry ice, when from the depths of the packing case, he suddenly heard a faint hork. His heart stood still. Suddenly he had heard that sound before at the Drake Expedition movies. His hands were trembling so that he could scarcely lift off the last of the wrappings. There was not the slightest doubt about it. It was a penguin. Mr. Popper was speechless with delight. But the penguin was not speechless. Ork, it said again, and this time it held out its flippers and jumped over the packing debris. He was a stout little fellow, about 2.5 feet high, although it was about the size of a small child. It looked much more like a little gentleman with its smooth white waistcoat in front and its long back black tailcoat dragging a little behind. Its eyes were set in two white circles in its black head. It turned its head from one side to the other, at first with one eye and then with the other. It examined Mr. Popper. Mr. Popper had read that penguins are extremely curious, and he soon found that this was true. For stepping out, the visitor began to inspect the house. Down the hall, it went and into the bedrooms with a strange, pompous little strut. When it or he, Mr. Popper, had already began to think of it as he, got to the bathroom, it looked around with a pleased expression on its face. Perhaps, thought Mr. Popper, all that white tiling reminds him of the ice and snow at the South Pole. Poor thing, maybe it's thirsty. Oh, okay. Now, Sign, at this point, I want you to ask, what do you think Mr. Popper gave to his penguin that arrived in the case for a drink? That's what I want to know.
Are you wanting me to ask that question, or are you wanting me to answer it?
Oh, answer would be great.
Oh, okay. I'm going to guess he had some ice water.
Ah, very neutral ice, yes. For some reason, I want to say he probably gave him a pib, Mr. Pib on ice.
That'd be huge.
Yes, Mr. Pib. Oh, okay. Well, let me read another paragraph here. Let me see. Carefully, Mr. Popper began to fill the bathtub with clean water. Aha! This was a little different because the inquisitive bird kept reaching over and trying to bite the faucet with its sharp red beak. Finally, however, he succeeded in getting the tub all filled. Since the penguin kept looking over, Mr. Popper picked it up and dropped it in. The penguin seemed not to mind. Anyway, you're not shy, said Mr. Popper. I guess you've got sort of used to playing around with those floors at the pole. When he thought the penguin had enough of a bath, he drew out the stopper. He was just wondering what to do when Janie and Bill burst in from school. Oh, okay. Those must be Mr. Popper's children.
I would think. We probably learned that in the earlier chapters.
How old do you think Janie and Bill are?
10 and 7.
Oh, all right. I wonder now, what do you think their reaction will be of seeing a penguin in their house?
They're probably gonna say, "Who let Chilly Willy the penguin in here?"
Well, all right, let me see what their reactions are. "Papa," they shouted together at the bathroom door. "What is it?" It's a South Pole penguin sent to me by Admiral Drake. "Look," said Bill, "it's marching." The delighted penguin was indeed marching, with little pleased nods of its handsome black head. He was parading up and down the inside of the bathtub. Sometimes he seemed to be counting the steps it took. 6 steps for the length, 2 steps for the width, 6 steps for the length again, and 2 more for the width. "For such a big bird, he takes awfully small steps," said Bill. "And look how his little black coat drags behind. It almost looks as if it were too big for him," said Janie. But the penguin was tired of marching. This time, when it got to the end of the tub, it decided to jump up the slippery curve. Then it turned and with outstretched flippers, tobogganed down its white stomach. They could see that those flippers, which were black on the outside, like the sleeves of a tailcoat, were white underneath. "Gook, gook," said the penguin, trying its new game again and again. "What's his name, Papa?" said Janie. "Gook, gook," said the penguin, sliding down once more on its glossy white stomach. It sounds something like, said Mr. Popper. Well, that's it, of course. We'll call him Kook, Captain Kook.
They didn't mention Chilly Willy the penguin at all.
I'm not sure who Chilly Willy is.
Chilly Willy was a famous cartoon penguin from somewhere around the 60s or 70s, and he'd always go on these adventures, and he'd always sneeze. He'd say, ha, he, ka-chu.
Wasn't there a dog involved with this penguin?
I don't think normally Chilly Willy the penguin had a dog.
Now, if we could put on a play, do you think Ron von Hess would be the first thought of to play Chilly Willy? Ron von Hess.
I'd say probably Al Tubbs.
Oh, oh okay. Al Tubbs, all right. Wow, okay.
Now, QT, who do you think was the most famous of all of the animated penguins?
Well, I'm not... Oh, okay, I'd say Tennessee Tuxedo.
That's who I was going to say as well, yeah. Tennessee Tuxedo was a great penguin. And he had that buddy pal, Chum Lee, and they'd always go to see Mr. Whoopi.
Yeah, I forget who Mr. Whoopi was. Who was
Mr.
Whoopi? Mr.
Whoopi was the smartest man they knew, and whenever Tennessee Tuxedo and Chum Lee would have a problem, they'd sneak out of the zoo, and they would go see Mr. Phineas J. Whoopi, and he'd get out his 3D blackboard. He'd always misplace it, and then there'd be loud crashes with everything falling out of the closet while he found it, and he'd explain to them how the science of whatever problem they had worked, and then Tennessee Tuxedo would say, Phineas J. Whoopi, you're the greatest. And they'd go out and try to solve their problem based on the information that Phineas J. Whoopi had given them.
Was Phineas J. Whoopi probably the equivalent of Mr. Peabody on Peabody and Sherman?
Probably the equivalent, yeah.
Wow. Could you see Sunny Days playing the part of Phineas Whoopi? Sunny Days.
I don't think I'd see Sunny Days. I would say probably Eric Wright.
Eric Wright. Oh, very good choice. Now, the Eric Wright is someone who I forgot to include in this in a lot of Turnbuckle Turmoil ranking. Eric Wright. He's often overlooked.
He is. He's fairly underrated, I think.
Yes. Underrated, yes. Now, who do I owe a fruit pie to?
Well, you owe one to Lance Dean. You owe one to Mrs. Lance Dean. You owe one to Von Hess.
Isn't Ron Von Hess moving to Arizona?
Yeah, but you have to get him his pie before he does that.
I'm not sure when his move-out date is from his apartment.
I believe this week, so you better hurry.
Well, okay. All right. Well, I am going to start Chapter 4. It's Captain Cook. It's named Captain Cook. Let me see. Call who? Okay, call who, Captain Cook? That's Mrs. Popper, who had come in so quietly that none of them had heard her. Why, the penguin, said Mr. Popper. I was just saying he went on, as Mrs. Popper sat down suddenly on the floor to recover from her surprise, that we name him after Captain Cook. He was a famous English explorer who lived about the time of the American Revolution. He sailed all over where no one had ever been before. Huh, I wonder if that's like Christopher Columbus, Captain Cook.
Maybe.
Okay. He didn't always get to the South Pole, of course. He didn't actually get to the South Pole, of course, but he made a lot of important scientific discoveries about the Antarctic regions. He was a brave man and a kind leader. So I think Captain Cook would be a very suitable name for a penguin here. Well, I never, said Mrs. Popper. Gork, said Captain Cook, suddenly getting lively again. With a flap of his flippers, he jumped from the tub to the waist to the washstand and stood there for a minute, surveying the floor. Then he jumped down, walked over to Mrs. Popper, and began to peck at her ankle. "Stop him, Papa," screamed Mrs. Popper, retreating into the hallway with Captain Cook after her, and Mr. Popper and the children following. In the living room, she paused. So did Captain Cook, for he was delighted with the room. Now a penguin may look very strange in a living room, but a living room looks very strange to a penguin. Even Mrs. Popper had to smile as they watched Captain Cook, with his light of curiosity in his excited circular eyes, and his black tail coat dragging pompously behind his little pinkish feet, strut from one upholstered chair to another, pecking at each to see which was what it was made of. Then he turned suddenly and marched out to the kitchen. "Maybe he's hungry," said Janie. Captain Cook immediately marched up to the refrigerator. "Gork?" he inquired, turning his slant his head wisely at Mrs. Popper and looking at her pleadingly with his right eye. "My gosh, he's actually asking for a handout where just a minute ago he was pecking at her ankle." Yes.
Well, that happens.
Now, what would happen if you had a penguin pecking at your ankle, Sun Guy?
I would probably wonder why there is a penguin pecking at my ankles, and I'd say, "Hey, do you know Al Tubbs?"
Yes, we. I think a lot of the wrestlers in the Northwest just don't quite have the time for a penguin, and would try to hoist said penguin who says gork on Al Tubbs. Al Tubbs would have a lot of upkeep with this penguin. Think of the overhead of ice it would have to. Al Tubbs would have to buy.
That's very true. Now, QT, have you ever gone to the zoo and looked at the penguin exhibit?
Not at the Tacoma Mall Zoo. I mean, the Tacoma Queenston Narrows. I think that's the name of the zoo.
Oh, okay. Now, did you ever share sardines with a penguin?
I guess sardines would be their number one food, wouldn't it?
One of them, yeah.
Or is it krill?
I'm going to guess sardines, but I never asked a penguin.
I am now doing a search. What is a penguin's GUI? Penguins. Main food source.
Oh, okay.
Food source. Probably not BLTs.
I wouldn't think so.
Let me see now. Penguins. Wow. Okay. It says small crustaceans that are abundant in their surrounding waters, krill, fish, and squid are pretty much what makes up their diet. But it didn't quite say what kind. Okay, here we go. Eating habits. Wow. Silverfish, lanternfish, sprats, pilchards, mullets, anchovies, sardines, cod, and opalfish. Wow. Boy, it's mostly fish. That's a lot of protein.
It really is, yeah.
Boy. Can you guess?
Oh, I wonder what Tennis Tuxedo's favorite food was, because he ate there at the zoo.
Who was that?
Tennessee Tuxedo.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I don't know, crab salad?
That's very possible. I know sometimes he and Chumley would sit in their little apartment at the zoo, and they'd have steak and pancakes and things like that. And then the zookeeper Stanley would come in and yell at them and say, "You're supposed to be eating what we serve you, not sneaking in and eating steaks and pancakes."
That's kind of like the Hare Bear Bunch. Do you remember the Hare Bear Bunch?
Vaguely.
They had a zookeeper that was, the Hare Bear Bunch was always up to shenanigans. And they had a zookeeper that they were always trying to foil and get away with stuff. I should send you a YouTube clip of the Hare Bear Bunch.
Oh, that'd be huge.
Yes. Now, Chumley kind of reminds me of Devin Bellinger. Yes.
I could see that. Imagine if South Park Bellinger just walked around in a yellow tie and a little yellow top hat all day. He'd look just like Chumley.
Yes. He would. Now, do you want me to send you the theme song of the Hare Bear Bunch?
I think that'd be huge.
Well, okay. Now, if once upon receipt, are you going to play this theme song at 10 decibels for our viewing fans?
I could do that.
Oh, okay. Let me send it to the Golden Songbird here. This is very big. Once you see the theme song, I think memories are going to come flooding back. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Now, I just sent it. Now, I'm sure if you could play the theme song, that'd be great. The theme song.
All right. Can you say you just sent it?
Yes, it should be on Golden Songbird's Facebook page.
Let's see. Not seeing it offhand, but let me see if I can track it down on the YouTubes here.
Oh, all right.
Why don't you tell me something while I take a look?
I can't believe that this is quite discouraging.
How is it? Hair, H-A-I-R?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
Hare Bear Bunch theme song. Oh, here it is. All right. So here we go. We'll play the Hare Bear Bunch theme song, apparently.
All right.
In the Wonderland Zoo, where the surgeon bears do.
Stay at home every night, never go on a fight.
We don't even fight!
So, yell, yell, help, help, here come the bears, help, help, here come the bears, help, help, here come the bears. Let's play.
Here come
the bears. Help!
Here come
the bears. Let's play.
Help!
It's the Hare Bear Bunch.
Wow. Did that bring back some memories?
I'm not sure I ever saw them, but they look a lot like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I guess, the little one does in the orange hat. Not really like the Afro one.
Well, I could see a little resemblance to Scooby-Doo maybe in that one.
Yeah.
It looked like maybe McGilla Gorilla would sometimes be there.
Oh, all right. I guess the zookeeper's name was Mr. Peevely.
Oh, okay. I wonder if he and Stanley Livingston from Tennessee Tuxedo ever got together for zookeeper conferences.
Well, you could be right. You could be right, yes.
They'd probably commiserate on what their animals would do.
Yeah, they were probably drinking back their worries. Those animals. I don't think they meant to hurt anyone. They just wanted to have a fun time.
Yeah. Well, Tennessee Tuxedo and Chum Lee, they wanted to escape the zoo and move back to the South Pole. So that was their end game all the time.
Oh, all right. Kind of like Hogan's Heroes, where they wanted – they wanted to stay inside Stalag 13 and create havoc outside.
Yeah, that was what they wanted. Where Tennessee, he wanted to go home to South Pole along with Chum Lee. So they'd always try to break out of the zoo. But a lot of times they would stay in the zoo and they'd try to come up with all kinds of schemes. And Stanley was constantly losing his temper and yelling at them. And he'd punish Tennessee and Chum Lee.
That one there with the red vest and the green handkerchief around his neck, he kind of looks like Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Colin Kaepernick. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Sign, do you want me to read another paragraph?
I think that'd be huge.
Yeah, let me see. Ork, repeated the penguin, nibbling at the metal handle of the refrigerator door with his unstretched beak. Mr. Popper opened the door for him, and Captain Cook stood very high and leaned his sleek black head back so that he could see inside. Now that Mr. Popper's work was over for the winter, the icebox was not quite so full as usual, but the penguin did not know that. "What do you suppose he likes to eat?" asked Mrs. Popper. "Let's see," said Mr. Popper as he removed all the food and set on the kitchen table. "Now then, Captain Cook, take a look." The penguin jumped up onto the chair and from there onto the edge of the table, flapping its flippers again to recover his balance. Then he walked solemnly around the table and between the dishes of food, inspecting everything with the greatest interest, though he touched nothing. Finally, he stood still, very erect, raised his beak to point at the ceiling, and made a loud, almost purring sound. "Or," he trilled. "That's a penguin's way of saying how pleased it is," said Mrs. Popper, who had read about it in his Antarctic books. Apparently, however, what Captain Cook wanted to show was that he was pleased with their kindness rather than with their food. For now, to their surprise, he jumped down and walked into the dining room. "I know," said Mr. Popper, "we ought to have some seafood for him, canned shrimps or something, or maybe he isn't hungry yet. I've read that penguins can go for a month without food." There you go, a month.
That's a long time between meals.
I don't think Devin Bellinger has gone a whole month without food.
Very unlikely.
Maybe not even 1/100th of a month.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Now, QT, do you have plans to ask South Park Bellinger what the record for him is going between meals?
Oh, I think I could do that, yes.
That'd be huge. Maybe we could run a contest.
Okay. But he's probably going to lie, though.
Well, that's true. And he is several different personalities, and those personalities might all have different answers.
I hear that. Yes. Boy, I don't know. I'm going to say one day, only under a doctor's orders.
I'm going to guess 18 hours, because I bet he slept 18 hours once.
Yes. Okay, you say 24, I say 18. Okay. 24 and 18. Okay. Wow. All right.
Now, QT, what do you think the longest time between meals for Thumbs Up Lance Dean is?
Very good question. I'm going to say 2 days.
I will say 36 hours.
All right, 36. That's quite the stretch, yes.
Now, is there any way we could contact Thumbs Up and get his blessing on running a contest for people to guess the longest in between meal times he's ever had?
Oh, okay. I think we could do that, yes.
And then the winner could win a prize, perhaps a book out of the little free library.
Oh, okay. This is going to be huge, yes.
I think so. I bet Thumbs Up Lance Dean will give you a thumbs up to run the contest.
Well, I look forward to that. I mean, yes.
Yes. Now, if you could send a message to Lance Dean, and then while you're doing that, I could perhaps read a passage out of another book.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
All right. Let me grab a book here. Let's see here. I will read out of... Oh, I'll read out of the book I just started currently reading. It's one that will come into play 2 weeks from now, Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich, by Lance Vaughn and Vinnie Barry.
Oh, all
Let's
right.
Let's see. I will start with... let's see. Well, you message Lance Dean... I will go to the foreword by David Manning. Each interview with an author or producer always triggers many memories. Vinny takes on a big task writing a story on the Von Erichs, especially Lance Von Erich, and how we created him. This story brings back one of the most significant decisions world-class championship wrestling had to make. We were at our peak in 1984, and shows were selling out everywhere. The Von Erichs had become a household name, and they were like rock stars at every appearance. Over 30,000 people waited on the Israeli tarmac for the plane carrying the wrestlers to land. The WCCW shows was the highest-rated wrestling program around the world, and the reasons were Kevin, David, and Kerry Von Erich. Then the unthinkable happened. The death of 24-year-old David Von Erich in Japan. This news sent shockwaves through the wrestling world. The stage had been set for the next year as WCCW brought in the three Freebirds, Michael Hayes, Terry Gordy, and Buddy Roberts. The Von Erichs versus the Freebirds. This was a booker's dream, but now we had only two Von Erichs. We always had the booking meeting on Monday and Tuesday mornings at the Sportatorium in Dallas, Texas. The booking meetings, after the death of David, of course, led to the discussion on how we would replace David. We discussed bringing in Mike Von Erich, but it was decided that he was still too young to take on that role. On one Tuesday morning, Fritz put out the idea that we create another Von Erich. He could be the son of Waldo Von Erich, who Fritz had always referred to as his brother when they would wrestle together. After several discussions, we decided to do it. Fritz, Ken Mantell, Bronco Lubick, and I voted yes, but Kevin Von Erich was a stern no vote. You ask where you find a person to turn into a Von Erich? Well, I found him while playing golf at the Ditto Golf Course in Arlington, Texas. After my round of golf, I see this 6'3" guy that looks like a bodybuilder with facial features of the Von Erichs. I introduced myself and had him come to the Sportatorium. Fritz liked what he saw, so the fast track to the main event started. A few other wrestlers and I trained him daily, and then we sent him to Portland, Oregon to get some ring experience. When we brought him back to Texas, all the fans bought into the story. All plans were back in place. We took Kevin Vaughn and turned him into Lance Von Erich. The rest you will read here. It was a hell of a ride with big shows, top stars, more tragedies, and a lot of fun. Then the day came when Fritz had to tell the world he made a mistake.
Wow.
Have we got a message off to Thumbs Up Lance Dean?
Yes, I have published it on Lance Dean's Facebook page. That was a quick turnover.
Oh, wow. That's huge. Hopefully he'll give us the thumbs up.
I didn't quite ask for his permission, and I submitted my 48 hours.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, you might have thought he could go a long time between meals.
Yeah, if you stay hydrated, you can do it. Yes. You can. He might have had,
like, glasses of water.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just glad I submitted a hair bear bunch clip to the Golden Songbird.
That probably would be, yeah.
I just don't understand, Sun Guy, how you missed this seminal history-making cartoon in your childhood, the Hair Bear Bunch.
I just never saw the Hair Bear Bunch that I recall. But they remind me a lot of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I think they do. They do kind of have Scooby-Doos. Maybe they're Scooby-Doos. Maybe there's a genetic trait in there. Maybe some of his DNA got mixed up in a zoo beaker. Yes.
That could be. Now, Tucci, who would you say was the best celebrity guest appearance on an episode of Scooby-Doo?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure who the list of celebrities would be.
Oh, there's a huge list of them because they had an entire series of Scooby-Doo where each week he would meet up with a different celebrity, some of them including Don Knotts, Sonny and Cher, Mama Cass, Batman and Robin, the Joker and the Penguin, and even John Cena. That one was much later.
Wow. How about Paul Lynde of the Hollywood Squares?
I don't think he ever made it on the Scooby-Doo. Oh, but Sandy Duncan did. You can add her to the list.
Wow. I'm going to go with Sandy Duncan.
Okay. I'm going to go with Sonny and Cher. That was a good episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the old man at the hotel, when he was checking them in, they said, "We're Sonny and Cher." And he says, "The weather's not too sunny and fair today." And Sonny Bono said, "No, we're Sonny and Cher, the famous celebrities." And he said, "Nope, not looking sunny and fair." They found out much later in the episode that it wasn't an old man running the front desk at the hotel. It was actually a man trying to run a real estate scam.
Oh, a real estate scam, huh?
Scooby-Doo ran into those a lot.
Oh, man. You know, Brian Griffin tried to run a motel scam on Quagmire once. Trying to invest in a motel property. Yes. Yes, he did.
Was he successful?
What's that?
Was he successful?
I think at the last moment it fell apart, and Quagmire beat up Brian pretty bad.
Oh, wow.
I guess not, Wally. Babu, let's see now. I can't find the guest stars on, Scoobypedia is one. Let's see. Was Martha Quinn ever on Scooby-Doo?
Not that I know.
Oh, okay. All right. Simon Cowell?
Possibly. I know that Phyllis Diller was.
Phyllis Diller? On Scooby-Doo?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Boy. Well, now I guess John Astin was. The guy is
yes.
Like Gomez Astin. Dick Van Dyke? He was in an episode called The Haunted Carnival. Dick Van Dyke. That would have been a great one.
Harlem Globetrotters also were on Scooby-Doo.
Wow. Boy, what perks. Boy, man. Oh, okay. Wow, that's Dick Van Dyke. Boy, that's great, man.
Tim Conway made an appearance on Scooby-Doo.
Oh, okay. Yes. Boy. I wonder what year Sonny and Cher, what that would have been, 1971? Could have been.
Somewhere in there, I would think, yeah.
Wow. Okay. The cast of Speed Buggy.
Speed Buggy and his buddy pals would meet up with Scooby-Doo a few times. And Scooby-Dum was in at least one of those episodes as well.
Scooby-Dum?
Yeah, Scooby-Doo's cousin, Scooby-Dum.
Oh, all right. I'm right off the bat, I'm going to guess Scooby-Dum wasn't too bright, or he was a little bit slow.
A little bit slow. He was like a willing detective, where Scooby-Doo was a little bit afraid to really delve into the cases and the mysteries. Scooby-Dum was right there, and he had like his little magnifying glass and his hat, and they'd come across each other sometimes, and then Scooby-Doo would say, Scooby-Dum, and Scooby-Dum would say, Scooby-Doo, and they'd do a little dance and hug each other.
Oh, my gosh. Couldn't that play out at intermission at Blue Collar Wrestling with two wrestlers?
Well, if two of them were dressed like dogs.
I could see Peyton Zayden doing that.
That'd be great. Kane Jaden.
Possibly, yeah. Ooh, now QT, have you gotten a response from Thumbs Up Lance Dean?
Well, let me check. Let me check here. Oh boy, this could be huge. Okay, let's see. Lance Dean is usually available on Sundays. Let's see. Possibly two, but closer to three a few times when I was living P.O., to P.O. in good old Gresham. What's P.O. to P.O.? Thank God the Army.
I'm guessing he means payoff.
Oh. Yes. When I had to deli dash a store at times. Oh, he had a deli dash. Gee whiz. Let me respond.
I wonder
if
it was a Katz's deli where you can send a salami to your boy in the Army.
Well, I'm going to respond and maybe ask that. Here we go. Just a second.
Oh, okay. So he basically gave the answer before we ran the contest.
Yes.
Well, that kind of hurts the contest, I would think.
Boy, I'm going to say so. All right.
You're not going to tell him where he can put that thumb, are you? Oh, okay.
You provided the answer before we even got off the air. And boy, what a podcast episode we have had. We even discussed the hair bear, B-A-R, bear bunch, Lance. Were you a big fan of the hair bear bunch cartoon? Oh, okay. This is big. I'm still waiting a response from him.
Oh, wow. Well, it's only been a quarter of a second.
Well, that's true. I hope. Okay, so he said possibly two, but closer to three a few times.
That would mean I was closer because I said 36 hours.
I think I'd say possibly three, but closer to two, you know.
think he got things messed around there a little bit.
Let's see. Well, oh yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess if it was closer to three, then I wouldn't win.
Yes. Boy, that's something. Okay, that's a. Boy, oh, yeah, I think he's replying. Here we go. We got a reply.
Oh wow.
Let me see. I haven't seen it. Could you provide it in a GIF? What's a GIF? GIF.
That's that little animated picture.
Oh. Oh, okay. Animated picture. Okay, I'm going to send him a Hair Bear Bunch. This is going to – okay. I am now looking up YouTube and providing Lance Dean a Hair Bear. Here we go.
Oh, wow.
Hair Bunch. How could I misspell bear? Good grief. I'm very excited, though. So, okay. Hair Bad Bunch, okay. There's the theme song. Okay, here we go. I sent it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy, that's huge. Okay, here we go. I made it public. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Help it. Hair Bear Bunch preview clip. Okay, Lance. Okay, here we go.
Oh, wow. I can't believe he ruined the contest before we could even start it, though.
Yes, he was very eager. Okay, I asked a loaded question. A loaded question. There we go. This was posted to his Facebook page. Man, that's great. Okay.
I bet he's warming up that thumb right now so he can lift it up with pride.
I bet you so, yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, Sign, who do we got on Monday since I don't think Flex Reed is going to show up?
It doesn't appear that he will today. Hopefully he's doing all right. But next Friday we have Irving Legend. Irving Legend out of the Virginia area. And then 1 week from today, J.B. Moonshine will be back co-hosting with us. And we welcome our guest, Caribbean Tiger. Caribbean Tiger out of the Southeast. And QT, you are very familiar with one of his opponents, Seymour Snot.
Yes, one of the proudest members of Gouge. Yes.
He really is. Now, Seymour Snot has done battle with the Caribbean Tiger. I have confirmed it.
Maybe, and I'm just throwing this out there, would Seymour Snot be calling in to ask a question for the Caribbean
Tiger? I guess it's possible.
Oh, that would be unbelievable. Yes. Caller from the 817 area code, do you have a question for Caribbean Tiger? Boy, that'd be great.
Oh, wow. And which area code is 817?
I'm just guessing that that's Seymour Snot's area code.
I don't believe that it is.
Okay. Boy,
Let me look up the 817 area code. Let's see. 817's in northern Texas.
Hey, I chopped down the distance. I was kind of close.
Not especially because Seymour Snot would have a North Carolina area code.
All right.
Now, let me see if I can look up Seymour Snot's area code. Yes, not even close.
Oh, crap. How about 917?
That's New York.
411.
Which one is it?
418.
Nope.
Oh, all right. I just got a comment from Lance. He said, Lance, do the three hair bears bear a striking resemblance to Scooby-Doo? Yes, and also by the looks of the art, Jabberjaw might even show up. What does that mean? By the looks of the art, Jabberjaw. Jabberjaw.
Wasn't Jabberjaw one of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons?
Are you laughing? One of the Hanna-Barbera. Cartoon figures.
I believe Jabberjaw was, in fact, one of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Familiar, but I can't quite place him or her.
Let's see. Jabberjaw was a shark.
Well, okay, that's what I thought. Yes. Was he a malicious shark?
No, he was friendly, I believe.
Jabberjaws. Didn't he hang around a goldfish?
He might have. I think Jabberjaw was in like a rock and roll band that lived under the sea.
Oh, all right. Oh. Well, there was one other episode about a shark that hung around a goldfish. What was that? I'll just plug in Jaws cartoon, maybe. Jaws
okay.
Cartoon. Okay. Let me see now. Cartoon Jack. Cartoon Jaws YouTube. Let's see now. Jaws 60 seconds. Master Jaw? Oh, okay. Here we go. Master Jaw is a 34 episode cartoon television series. Let me see. Master Jaw. Great White Shark. Yeah, okay. There was a Master Jaw cartoon, and he hung around like a goldfish. Oh, that's huge, Master Jaw. Yes. Okay, I'll send you a YouTube clip.
Oh, that'd be huge.
Oh man. Okay. Well, fine. I don't think he's going to show up.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess we'll wrap things up for today. Looks like our guest's not able to make it. But we learned a whole lot here today.
A plethora of stuff, yes.
Yes, especially what penguins like to eat and the eating habits of Thumbs Up Lance Dean.
Yes. Yes, who
I'm
went
sure
one day.
After listening to today's episode, most of our fans will be saying. But hopefully they'll be back with us next week when we talk to Caribbean Tiger, who, in fact, might be asked a question by Seymour Schnott if he should call into the show.
Yes. Boy,
All right.
Yeah. I'm not even going to send a hint I'm not even going to send a hint to him.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we will wrap that up. Make sure you're with us next week. Next Friday, we'll have Irving Legend. 1 week from today, J.B. Moonshine will be co-hosting with us once again as we welcome Caribbean